White Tiger Qigong. Oh, let's do that one.
He was only a healer, he said, but he did direct a powerful energy generated from his own body into his patients.
It was nothing like any acupuncture I'd ever had. I was getting really powerful electric shocks and couldn't control my movements at all.
And he showed us a clip of a documentary from the 1970s called Ring of Fire. Have you come across this? Hello, my friends, and welcome to the podcast. My name is Mike Mayer. I'm a breathwork coach, and I also host this podcast, which is mostly about breathing, but we delve into all the other areas of like wellness and health. And today, I've got a really cool guest for you. I don't know if you've ever heard of Qigong. It's the missing part of breathwork for me. I'll do a really bad job, but I'll just explain how I understand it. It's adding movement to the body and then breathing in time with it. It's something that I'm going to get certified in. So depending on where you're watching this, I'm either a Qigong instructor or I'm just about to go through the process. Anyway, I'm just going to tell you the story because it's a really interesting story. White Tiger Qigong, they contacted me and said, would you like to do a podcast with the main person who you're about to see? And I was like, yeah, that sounds great. Oh, but you can't use video. It has to be audio only. And I was like, oh, well, so it's on YouTube mostly. So people do listen to it on iTunes and Spotify, but it's also on YouTube. So we would need to have the cameras on. So they said, okay. And I never heard back from them until a couple of months ago. And they booked in the guest. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. So we're having a chat and the cameras are on. And he's like, okay, I'm going to turn my camera off now before we hit record. And I was like, oh, what do you mean? Because I don't show my face. Basically, he said, I took an oath not to get famous when I became a Qigong practitioner, Qigong master. I was like, oh, that's freaking cool. So we need to tell that story because that's ace. In the video, you won't see the guy that I'm talking to. He is real. I have seen his face and he does very, very cool. He has very cool stories about Qigong. He knows a lot of stuff and very, very exciting. And I may even get the opportunity to go and train with him in the Vietnamese mountains. How freaking cool does that sound? And so could you. You could do this too. That's what's coming up. The history of Qigong. Can you set things on fire with your hands? Can you move energy around your body? What can we do with Qigong? Is there any benefits to it for us personally, mentally, physically, spiritually? All that's going to be covered in here. So you're going to get a load of value. Join the thousands of people that have already downloaded my free 7 Essentials Breathing Exercise PDF. The link is down below. I'll send you that straight away. You get access to 7 exercises, the what, the why, and the how. You can click on them and you can just breathe straight away. Get to sleep, reduce stress, reduce anxiety. So completely free. Loads of people have downloaded it. I get lovely feedback all the time. Once you download it, you get access to my newsletter as well. Gives you discounts on my coaching if you want to work one-on-one with me. Gives you opportunities to get access to my Airheads events where we're putting on these big events to do with the breath and a load of other stuff as well. So please feel free to do that. And here is White Tiger Qigong. Take it away. Cheers. Tevye Fung, welcome to the Take a Deep Breath podcast. I'm really excited to have a conversation with you. But first, I thought we could just address something. So for those that are listening, it won't be such a big deal. But for those watching, they'll notice that I'm talking to an image at the moment. So maybe if you could just explain for our viewers why we won't be doing a video-to-video podcast today, because I think it's quite an interesting thing to share.
Yeah, for those who are familiar or unfamiliar with the Taoist practice, so Lao Tzu in the Tao Te Ching, it's one of the most famous books on Taoism. He talked about not becoming famous. And I took a vow in a Taoist sect, the Tianji Dao sect, and that was to never use my face for fortune or fame.
Wow.
So that was a vow I took. And so I actually care about promoting White Tiger Qigong, not myself. So this is the way to do it. And and I've been doing it for many years, and yet we still have thousands of students from around the world. So it hasn't hurt me too bad.
Yeah, fantastic. And really fascinating, actually. And makes a lot of sense. It's actually a lovely sentiment to it. So yeah, very cool. And I can confirm for the audience that he is real, and I did see him on Zoom before we started hitting record, and seen his lovely face. And so and I just wanted to, again, just for people listening and watching, I really want to talk to you about Qigong, about your life. And so even though this is the very first podcast I've ever done where we don't have the person's image on the screen, I just feel like it's such an important conversation to have. So everyone sit back and relax, and I'm sure you're going to get a lot from today's conversation. So first of all, how are you feeling today, sir? How are you doing?
I feel great, and thank you for having me here. It's an honor to be here with you.
It's a real honor to talk with you. Let's get stuck in. It's always a good place to go back to a bit of the beginning. So maybe you can just share a bit about your story, how you found Qigong. I know that some things happened to you in your younger years. I've had a look at your bio on your website and stuff. So it'd be just lovely to hear your voice and your words about your story, really, and what's led you to be this person you are today.
Well, I was born with chronic illness. My sister was born with pneumonia. My brother was born with rickets. My grandmother died an early death of a respiratory disease. We've got colon cancer in my family. We've got heart disease. You name it, we've got it. I was basically born with two strikes against me. And my parents didn't want me to be on medications my whole life. They didn't want me to be in hospitals with doctors my whole life. So they wanted to find an alternative method to strengthen my organs, strengthen my body, strengthen my spirit. And they turned to Qigong. So every day after school, when I was 7 years old, I went to a Qigong master and trained. Mm-hmm. And that helped strengthen my body and strengthen my spirit. And it had a very profound effect on me and my well-being. Now, fast forward years later, I was in a brutal car accident. Doctors told me I had to have surgery on my spine. There was no way around it. And also on my knee. And I went to my master. I was scared. You know, I was young. I didn't want to go under the knife. And I know once you have spinal surgery, you know, it's a one-way street. There's no turning back. Mm-hmm. And so my master said, don't do surgery yet. Try this simple Qigong exercise. And he showed me the simple Qigong exercise. I did it every day. I had debilitating back pain. You know, I couldn't sit down for more than 30 minutes without feeling like an agony, you know? So I then just continued to do this simple undulation of the spine coupled with deep breathing. And it really served to loosen up my spine. I was in a neck brace after the accident, but I was able to take off that neck brace. I was able to start to become more mobile with my spine again and relieve that back pain and start to feel like a normal human being again. Mm-hmm. Now, it took me about 4 years to relieve all the back pain completely. And some people might say, that's a long time. But you know what? Surgery lasts a lifetime. Yeah. So to be able to avoid that. And now I have, my spine is in better shape than most people half my age. And, you know, we have a saying in Qigong that you are as old as your spine. You know, we're living in the day and age, you know, where we're judging beauty as the way to judge age. Mm-hmm. But actually, it's the spine. So, because all of your organs hang off of your spine. And also, you have the brain sits on top of the spine. So if you don't have a healthy spine, you can suffer from brain atrophy at a much younger age. They've proven, as wow, cerebral spinal fluid cannot pump enough into the brain sufficiently enough to nourish and feed the brain. And so after the age of 24, they've found that a lot of people suffer from brain atrophy. And also in the day and age where we're sitting in chairs, most of our, they say the new killer is the chair, right?
Yeah.
And so to be able to have an exercise, to be able to loosen the spine, make it feel limber and supple. And so that's what this exercise did for me. It changed my life. And that's why I'm such a major proponent of Qigong and believer in it. And then, so I continued to do Qigong and began to specialize in a form of Taoist medical Qigong, which focuses on the meridians, the organs, and the bones. And I ended up working in a clinic in China, working with cancer patients, people with difficult to treat illnesses. I worked with guys with Tourette's syndrome. And my first patient was dying of liver cancer, couldn't eat, couldn't sleep, couldn't smile. And the doctors told him to say his goodbyes. And after just 3 days training this Qigong with me, he was able to eat, he was able to sleep, he was able to smile. And he invited me into his home. And I sat with that man, this beautiful soul, and he treated me like a family member. And that was so richly rewarding to me. I knew in that moment, this is what I want to do the rest of my life, to be able to, you know, come into contact with someone who's enduring deep suffering and to be able to share with them the very secret that helped me unlock my own potential and, you know, come out of that barrier that that held me back for so many years. And to be able to share that with someone else and to be able to witness that recovery was really richly rewarding for me. And so, and that's what I've continued to do to this day. And it's not magic. And that's why I've sought to work with neuroscience, neuroscientists, and also sports science experts to kind of take out the woo-woo aspect out of Qigong. And as I have proven, it's a practice that's actually grounded in science.
Hey, everybody. I hope you're enjoying the podcast so far. I just wanted to ask if you could leave me a quick review. If you're on iTunes or Spotify, a couple of taps of the thumb, leave us a review. It helps other people find the podcast. If you're on YouTube, if you could like, subscribe and share, that would be freaking fantastic. Okay, back on with the podcast. Cheers. Can't wait to get stuck into some of this. And as you were saying, some of that, I was like, I better sit up straight because I've got a lot of, not a lot, but I do have back problems. And so we can probably get into a bit of posture in a bit, but can we just, I just want to go back to something you said at the start of that. Why did your parents pick Qigong? Because I've, you know, out of all the modalities, did they do that? Did they practice that? Did they see a leaflet for something? What was it that made that first initial foray into Qigong, do you think?
Great question. And very few people ask me that. Well, I came from a very alternative family. My parents were into organic foods. My mother was a psychologist, but also taught yoga. My father was into Qigong since before I was born. He did martial arts. He did meditation. He also did yoga. He did the whole gamut and of alternative modalities. Yeah. And so so they were really, you know, he thought it was a good way. And that's why they found a master for me.
Yeah, fantastic. And do you have any siblings or any other, does your family as a whole do this? You have other members of your family that have branched out into it as well?
Well, you know, you have different family members take different paths. You know, I had one went in deeply into internet marketing and the other went into solar energy and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But they take good care of themselves. They eat very healthy. They do plenty of movement. For me, I really wanted to go deep. And I was the one who had the most illness. And so that's probably why I was drawn to it the most. And make it a lifestyle for myself.
Yeah, very cool. So just a little bit about what's happened to me. So I knew nothing about conscious breathing sort of 6 years ago. Had no idea about breathing exercises or maybe did one yoga class. And then as I often say now, you know, Wim Hof's a wonderful gateway drug into breath work. And I came across him and I spent a week with him in Poland and went there for the cold exposure, did not go there for the breathing. Breathing didn't really register for me as something I was interested in as a conscious practice, but I wanted to learn how to get into the cold. And then the breathing just poof. And so I went from that and then I jumped into more of the scientific side of things and studied under Buteyko and Oxygen Advantage and all of that side. And yet it was only very recently that I started to add some movement to the breath, because so often, for me, the breathing was lying down and huffing and puffing, or maybe, I mean, in the Oxygen Advantage, we do some stuff where we're kind of holding our breath and we're running around a little bit. But the minute that I started doing a little bit of work with a Qigong instructor from London called Grey Cause, and I just started adding some movement, I was like, wow, this was the missing link for me. And I couldn't believe how good I felt and how simple it was. And so I've just become a little bit obsessed. And so when this conversation happens, like, oh, this seems like a really fortuitous time to have this conversation with you, because I'm just starting to get kind of awakened to this thing, but I know very little about it. So I don't know, could you share with us what it is and maybe where its roots and history come from? I know that's quite a big question, but if you could give us a bit of a helicopter view of what is Qigong from your perspective.
Yeah, so first we have to look at the traditional Chinese character for qi. It's so Chinese characters are made up of radicals, and these radicals are they represent an element. So, for example, the character for qi is gas or air, and then it has another image of a rice kernel popping. So, what does that really mean? Is that you put two and two together, and it creates combustion, right? It creates an effect. So that's qi. So just think of it like this. You breathe in air And in Chinese, you say xi qi. That means breathe in, inhale. And they use the word qi in xi qi, you know? So you in with the qi and then hu qi as you breathe out. So out with the qi, you know, exhale. So what you're doing, essentially, you bring in that oxygen into your body and that has an effect. You get energy. Think about it. You're about to push a heavy car. You take a deep breath in and then you, so you're using that qi of the air. And that, so it has an effect once it goes inside your body, right? Same thing with food. You eat food and you get energy from it. So they have food qi. We call that gu qi. And then you have kong qi, which is the air qi from the air. Okay. So you have all these different types of qi that you can get. And we have di qi, which is earth qi. And if you think about it now, there's, you know, the whole movement, literally a movement of earthing, they call it, right? Of going out barefoot onto the ground. So you get the energy from the earth and those frequencies from there. So now they're proving that's actually real.
Yeah. Right.
So that's essentially what qi is. And gong is the refined skill of working with qi. So the refined skill of working with energy. So that's what we're doing, is we're refining that skill of working with energy so we can then direct that energy where we want to go in our body. So that's a high level overview of what is qigong. Now, there's 3,000 types of qigong that are documented today. Whoa. So out of those 3,000 kinds, how do you choose the one that's right for you? You know, so I whittled it down to five main branches. There's five main branches of qigong. You have Taoist qigong, Confucianist qigong, Buddhist qigong, medical qigong, and martial qigong. Those are the five main branches. So what's the difference, say, between Taoist qigong and Buddhist qigong? So the Buddhists traditionally believe that the body is a hindrance towards spiritual enlightenment. So their goal, ultimate goal, is spiritual enlightenment. So they do qigong for spiritual enlightenment. They also have it for martial protection. An example of that would be the Shaolin qigong, where they have hard qigong, where they make the body like iron. You know, it's called iron shirt qigong. And that is where they can put spears into their throat and it doesn't pierce their skin, right? And they can bend the spear and they can do all types of really powerful tricks. And that's designed for self-defense. And then the Taoist qigong is, the Taoists believe that the spirit is intrinsically connected to the physical body. There's no separation between the two. So if you are ill spiritually, you'll be ill physically. If you're ill physically, it will affect your spirit. And I'm not talking spirit in the religious sense. I'm talking spirit in the sense of your consciousness, your awareness, for lack of better words. And so if you think about this, they've now proven, neuroscience has proven, that people who are ill emotionally, you know, have bad emotional health, it affects their physical well-being. So that's a prime example of how that the spirit is intrinsically connected to the physical body. Mm. And so the Taoist qigong works on healing the spirit and the body as one force. And we use that one force to create transformation and then eventually find what I call peak potential. Finding what are you capable of in this life that you didn't learn in school, that they didn't teach you. And there's so much to explore there in human potential that I find. So you had mentioned like Wim Hof, right? So essentially Wim Hof is doing a form of qigong on a very, he's created a brilliant system in that he's dumbed down maybe Tummo breathing and some different breathing, yogic breathing techniques, and made a system that anyone can do. And I loved how you call it the gateway drug into breathing. That's such a great way to put it, because he created a very simple system based on a complex system. So for those who've done Wim Hof breathing and stuff like that and Buteyko, then you'll love qigong, because all of these breathing techniques are based on these ancient breathing techniques that have been around for thousands of years. And they were whittled down to get the essence of it. But for those who want to even take it to another level, qigong is that next level. Qigong offers that next level. So for example, with say you have the Wim Hof breathing, right? So we have a white tiger breath where we work with the earth qi. You work with the qi from the cosmos. So the Taoists believe that you can actually connect with constellation energy, star energy, through the crown point on the head. Mm-hmm. So we are a microcosm of the macrocosm. So we are a direct reflection of the universe around us. So for example, you have the five elements. You have earth, water, metal, wood. And do you know the fifth one?
Oh, somebody told me today. Says,
fire.
Fire. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. So you have these five elements, and those five elements are within you. And those five elements are in the organs, right? So the heart is fire.
Yes.
The lungs are metal.
Yes.
The liver is wood. The spleen is earth. And the kidneys are water. And so working with the organ chi, the organ energy, and treating those as if they're temples and taking care of them. And we have different visualizations and different. And when I say visualization, I don't mean it on just seeing something, but trying to engage all of the senses. Why? Because we're trying to induce a physiological reaction. That's why Qigong works. You're inducing a physiological reaction by believing something so intensely, engaging all the senses, that you trigger the neurochemicals in the brain to create a physiological reaction. So we talk about controlling the autonomic nervous system, which for years we have been told you couldn't control the autonomic nervous system. What I love about Wim Hof, he proved that you can with science. The Taoists were already doing that for thousands of years, but I love that he's taken it to the next level, and now we've proven it with science. So how do you do that? That's what I'm talking about. Peak potential, maximum potential, finding what you are capable of on this earth. Because if I had listened to the doctors, I would be bedridden and probably convince myself that I had nothing left, yeah. That I would have opted for that surgery. I would have been on medications, and I would have probably been, you know, on the boob tube, watching TV, eating junk food, and being sucked into the narrative, the mainstream narrative. And that will literally suck the life out of you.
Yeah.
And so by taking back your own power and realizing that you have that inside of you, and I never follow a guru, and that's why I always tell my students, I'm not your guru. I'm not a guru. Don't follow me, but I'll show you what I did for myself. And if it works for you, that's wonderful. And it's worked for so many people.
Yeah. Just a reminder, I am a breathwork coach and I take on a very small number of clients each month. If you are interested in working one-on-one with me, where we'll explore how breathwork can really help you achieve your goals, a bespoke plan built from the ground up with me, using my knowledge of 100 plus podcasts with the world's greatest breathwork experts, pulling together, combining all the dots from everything I've learned from all these podcast conversations, all the books that I've read, all the study that I've done, to give you a bespoke plan where you can really harness the breath to help you hit your own personal goals, then the link is down below for a free 30-minute Zoom. Come on, Zoom, let's have a chat and see if it's a good fit for you. Okay, back with the podcast. Oh, lovely. It's intuitively, you know, there's something there just as you're talking about it. And you know, so many people, like you say, boob tube, but you know, it's so easy to give your attention to passively to something that will just take your life away from you. And before you know it, you know, 10, 20 years have gone by and you've watched Sopranos and Game of Thrones and all that sort of stuff, you know, but it's really interesting. You mentioned grounding and earthing, and if we can just take a slight detour into that for a sec, and it probably will link back in. So I got to interview Clint Ober, who did a movie called, I think it's called The Grounded Movie, actually. It's had like 4 million views, and he's an electrical engineer. I don't know if you're familiar with that documentary or him, and he wrote a book called Grounding. And so since then, what you can't see right now, I've actually got a grounding mat here. Got a grounding sheet on the bed, and I try and do my breath work barefoot now in the forest. Not always. I need to get some grounding bits for that. What from your perspective, what's going on with the grounding? Do you recommend the grounding with the Qigong, or is it a different? Is that sometimes, always? How do you incorporate touching the earth with your practice in your daily life?
Well, that's a great question, because it didn't really hit me until I was training. I was living on top of a building. I was living on a high floor, and I would train on the roof. And then one day I went out to my master, and he said, something's wrong with your chi. And he said, something's wrong with your training. You don't have enough earth chi. He's like, where are you training? I said, I'm training on my rooftop. He said, there you go. He said, you're not connecting with the earth chi. And he said, you need to be training on the ground. So you get that earth chi. And he could see it and feel it, because he's at that high level where he could actually see that. And I was just blown away, because like, how can he see that and feel that from me? He's so in tune with it. So I have a rule now. I train with my feet on the ground, and if possible, barefoot. And I And if, you know, worst case scenario, I have shoes that have a very flexible sole. You know, so we have what's called in the foot, the Yongchuan point. That means bubbling spring. Yes, that's an acupuncture point, which connects to the kidney channel on the bottom of the foot, on the sole of the foot. And when you grab the ground with your foot, that the arch in your foot rises up and that activates that bubbling spring. Okay. And so it creates this like magnetic force where it can draw the earth energy, and we can pull that earth energy up through the feet, up through the legs, and up into the body. Yeah. So you actually can start to, this is where we talk about that refined skill again of working with chi. So I can draw chi from nature. I can draw chi from the earth and allow it to heal me and energize me and fill me with a vitality. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things that I found is that, you know, people think these old masters living in the mountains are just these, they have so much vitality. They think that they're just like these like recluses that just are just sit there really quiet. No, they have so much energy and vitality into their old age.
Yeah.
And that is what I love about it. And I, you know, I'm not a spring chicken anymore, but I'm filled with a lot of energy in my daily life. And I attribute it to Qigong. And that is connecting with the earth energy, connecting with the sky energy, the energy from the sky, connecting with the sun energy, you know, grabbing that, drawing that in, connecting with it. Yeah. So you're connecting with nature. And that's the five elements that we're talking about again, going back to that.
Yeah.
So the earth is one of those five elements. So I think it's great to do that. The grounding practices that you're talking about. And the mat, I got to get into that too. I got to get on that tip. So
yeah, there's actually something you can get for your shoe. Any shoes, by the way, you can kind of retrofit them, and a little bit goes, it's very discreet as well. It goes in the side of the shoe. And as you have a little bit of moisture in your socks, it creates the connection, and then it comes around the shoe and goes to the base. And so in theory, you can make any pair of shoes grounded. So even when you're going, you know, to the shops, or you're just walking in the park and you can't quite take your shoes off, you can be touching the earth, which is very cool. And they're not very expensive either. So people listening, it's worth checking those out. And you mentioned the sky energy there. You know, for me, it's like there's this really cool mix now of like ancient practices and the science. And I don't know if you're familiar with Dr. Andrew Huberman. He seems to have exploded over the last couple of years as a neuroscientist. And he talks a lot about the power of daylight, and just in the morning, first thing before you look at your phone, just get outside and get some daylight on your eyeballs and on your skin. And most people, it's obviously sitting in the bed dark, you know, scrolling on the phones and that sort of thing. So that's also incorporated from what I'm hearing you're saying. Oh, there is a practice there where I guess it's touching the earth, but also being outside, I guess, is just enhancing it. Would that be fair? Is there any more you can say about the daylight side of things? Yeah.
Yeah. So just like what you were just talking about. So we have the golden elixir breath, where we go and we connect with the morning sunrise, and we stare at the morning sunshine with our eyes closed, and we breathe in and draw in that golden sunlight in through our eyes. And we then create a pool of saliva in the mouth, where we visualize that and feel, not only visualize, but feel it, feel the warmth of that sunlight going into the saliva and creating this golden, what we call a golden elixir. And then you swallow that, and it circulates throughout the body, goes into the gut and heals the gut. It's really beneficial and it feels great. And then we have a skin breathing practice where I can actually open the pores on my skin. I can't show you on video, but I show all my students. And it's not magic. It's just I've gained mastery over certain systems of my body.
Yeah,
just through a lot of practice. So you open the pores in your skin and you go in the sunlight and you breathe it in. You breathe in the sunlight into your skin. You can feel it just warming your skin, and you get that fire of the sun. So that fire chi, and that's really nourishing, and it just feels so good. Just like you're bathing your body in this sunlight and then working with that. And then you can circulate it wherever you want it to go. Mm-hmm. Meaning, like, let's say you're having gut issues, like I mentioned, you can bring it into the gut. Mm-hmm. If you have digestion issues, if you're having back pain, bring it into that area, send it in. So we have a saying in Qigong, where the yi goes, that's your intention. Where the yi goes, the qi goes. And where the qi goes, the blood flows.
I like that. So not only am I the host of this podcast and I put out all these YouTube videos, I am a breathwork coach. That's what I do most of my time. And you can apply to work with me one-on-one. I've interviewed now 100 of the world's top experts in breath, wellness, yogis, authors. and I've pulled together the dots, and I can see the toolkits and the tools that we need to apply for different goals. So whether your goal is anxiety reduction, stress reduction, increased focus, increased athletic performance, improving heart rate variability, lowering blood pressure, and so many other things, you can click below, get a free 30-minute Zoom with me, and let's have a chat and see if it would be a good fit for us working together. And I look forward to speaking to some of you on Zoom. It's my absolute passion working one-on-one, getting immediate feedback. You get access to me on WhatsApp, so you can text me each day when you've done the exercises. I'm sending you podcast links and Zooms and bespoke exercises just for you, and my clients absolutely love it. In fact, most times I say we want you because you've interviewed everybody and we know that you look at breath work as a whole. So if that's of interest to you, the link is down below. Now back on with the Breathcast. Cheers. Any overlap or your perspective on Qigong and what modern Western terms call placebo, you know, where these things happen and you can even now, I think there's this thing called the nocebo effect, that might have got that wrong, where you can even take a pill that you know is not real and the certain colors will make a difference. So like a red one's good for pain, let's say, or blue one's good for anxiety. And so even though you know it's fake and you take that pill, you swallow it down, people have then reported improvements. It feels like, from my very distant view, there's some overlap there maybe in terms of the intentions you're setting in Qigong and this thing that we call placebo. And I'd love to get your thoughts on a bit of that.
Yeah, it's the placebo effect times four. Uh-huh. So the placebo effect, you just assume it's going to work. And what happens is you're inducing a physiological effect, right? But when we engage all of our senses to further induce that physiological effect, it's much more powerful. So I'll give you a prime example. My master put me in, we have cold water training in the Taoist practice. My master put me in a cold water when I was a young guy. He put me in a cold water and he said, okay, now warm yourself up. I'm like, what do you mean warm myself up? I'm freezing. He said, warm yourself. I said, what do you mean warm myself? Okay, feel the fire. I said, I feel cold. He said, no, you got to feel fire. See the fire. Hear the fire crackle, feel it, and believe it. And he said, if you don't believe it, it's not going to work. You have to believe it so intensely. You're hot. You're sweating. You feel the fire. You feel it. You see it with your mind. You engage the senses of the hearing. So you hear the crackling of the fire. And eventually, my body started to warm. Mm-hmm. Anybody can try this on their own. Try that on their own. Yeah. Now, you have to believe. People always say to me, do you think this Qigong stuff will really work for me? I said, it doesn't matter what I think. Do you believe it? And you have to believe it so intensely. You have to have this unwavering faith that it's going to work. Now, I'm not saying, you know, you got into a car accident, you break your bone, just believe it and don't go to the hospital. No, that's not what I'm saying at all. But like, let's say you have a common cold, right? Or like me, you have back pain, debilitating back pain. You keep doing the Qigong and you believe in it, that it's working, and you feel your back becoming stronger. You feel it becoming more supple. You see your spine growing and becoming stronger, and it's going to actually start to work. Mm. And so we, in neuroscience, one of the greatest discoveries that I found in the correlations with how Qigong works is that in neuroscience, when you go through a traumatic experience, think about the last time. I want everybody to think about the last time they went through a very traumatic experience, and then they relive that experience over and over and over again in their head. I don't believe there's anybody who hasn't experienced that, right? Everybody's experienced that, where they repeat that. So what's happening in the mind, in the brain, is that you are reliving that experience over and releasing the same neurochemicals that happened at the same time that you actually had that experience, and you become addicted to that feeling. And we are creatures of habit, and the brain is a machine of efficiency. So it's going to start to make that like hardwired into your brain. So it's hardwiring that habit, right? Mm-hmm. Now we can reverse that and actually stop it in its tracks and create the opposite program and hardwire something we want. And that is, we can release the same neurochemicals as when you're happy, when you really had a beautiful experience. Think back to a beautiful experience you had, you know, something that made you feel so good. And you relive that, and that starts to release the same neurochemicals as when that event happened. Mm. Right. So that is the kind of thing that Qigong can do. So I was working just with a woman. She's been suffering deep insomnia issues. really deep insomnia issues. And we started going back to her childhood and found, because at first she, I said, do you have any trauma from childhood? And because I wanted to do a Taoist exercise, it's called releasing the three acquired minds, where we go back into the trauma, because the Taoists believe that you've been programmed since birth. Your parents gave you your name. They told you what to believe. They told you what to think. And you accepted that as reality, right? Then you went to school. The teachers told you what the history books say, and this is, and you accepted it as reality. So that shaped your perception of reality. But how do we find out who is the true you underneath that and go back to the primordial state and find the raw you? And you have to peel back those layers. And the first stage of that is releasing emotional issues and trauma. And so we went back and we found, lo and behold, she had deep emotional trauma when she was a child that revolved around sleep. And we went back and we did some special Taoist Qigong breathing exercises and mantras to try to break that, stop that in its tracks. It created these really bad habits that had hardwired into her to have self-destructive habits. Yeah. And she was intentionally inducing this insomnia to hurt herself. And we uncovered that through this Qigong. It was really powerful, yeah. Very powerful, and started creating a new habit, new neural connections to hardwire an opposite effect. And she became so deeply relaxed and calm in just our first session. So that's an example of how it can work.
Yeah. So do you have in Qigong some of those breathing exercises that are sometimes known as rebirthing or conscious connected breathing? And sometimes they go on for an hour or 2 hours of deep, you know, hyperventilation. Do you have elements of that sit in Qigong as well? Or does it tend to be more of the softer, gentler kind of breathing?
Well, I've never done rebirthing. I've just heard about it. But I can tell you, we have both yang and yin. Mm-hmm. So yang breathing is more intense. We have a martial fire breath. So martial fire breath is similar to, say, the breath of fire in Kundalini mm-hmm. yoga. Mm-hmm. Right. And then you have, you know, like a similar to the Buteyko breathing style where you're mm-hmm. minimizing the breath. Mm-hmm. Okay. We call that womb breathing. Okay, where you're really slowing down the breath and you're going deep. The difference between those techniques and this, I mean, I can't comment on rebirthing because I haven't done it. The difference is we're engaging more senses with this. So it's more complex. So it's more challenging, but it's much more, it's very interesting. Yeah. So if you like Buteyko, you like Wim Hof, you like this, you'll love Qigong breathing because we're doing that times 10. It engages a lot more. So it's a longer practice. It takes a lot longer to learn. Like if I taught you womb breathing, right? You can learn the Buteyko breathing very quickly. So then you already have that foundation. That's great. Now I can start to give you other steps to add to that. Yeah. So it's a lot of fun. So I think you'd actually, love it.
Yeah. I really do feel like that's my next step. So we can hopefully have a conversation after we finish recording, but I do feel like I'm just being very pulled towards this. Yeah, as soon as I added some movement, it just blew the top off it all. It just felt so right. So I do nobody can see me. I'm in the forest. I've got a German Shepherd. She's running around chasing sticks and squirrels. And I'm normally barefoot at around 7 a.m. just doing some breathing with just a bit of movement, just with no guidance other than what my body wants to do, with a bit of tapping sometimes. And it just feels wonderful. It just feels like such a wonderful thing. But I have no formal training. I don't teach it and I want to learn it. So it'd be good to maybe talk to you about that afterwards, actually, because it just feels like so good. And I'm sure there's many people listening to this right now as well that have done Buteyko, done Wim Hof, and still it always feels like there's something else. That's how I in my mind, it's like something's missing from these practices. And for me, it's been the movement, but obviously there's much more to it. And we'll talk a bit about White Tiger, actually, because that's probably a nice segue. And so can you talk a bit about your organization, how you teach maybe, and obviously we can link to people so they can click and they can go to your website and all that sort of stuff and we can promote it. But could you maybe share a bit about why White Tiger? What does that kind of root to, and a bit about your philosophy really?
Well, I studied in my time over 50 different styles of Qigong and martial arts, and I found that there was really three different systems of Qigong that I found I could get tangible benefits immediately. And that any person could learn pretty much, but yet be challenging enough for even a professional athlete, you know. So it's easy enough for anyone to learn, but also challenging enough for the athlete. So these three systems, I call them the Trinity system. These three systems of Qigong consist of five animal Qigong, which is the first medical Qigong form ever created over 2000 years ago by Hua Tuo. He was a Chinese medicine physician to the emperor. And he took the Wu people's shaman. This was like the Wu people were 5,000 years ago. They created shamanic Qigong. So picture like a tribal people dancing around a fire, you know, putting animal skins on and like getting into trances. That was the first Qigong ever created 5,000 years ago. You know, imagine how much energy they felt from that. You know, that sounds so intense, right? Yeah. So Hua Tuo took those kind of animal dances and he evolved it and added a Chinese medicine element to it. So working on the meridians, the bones, and the organs. And so he created more of a system. So he created a systematic style of Qigong called five animal Qigong, which I'm teaching actually in November here in Vietnam, doing a 3-week master course and optional teacher training. And that system is one of my favorite systems I've ever learned. It's super dynamic. There's many different styles of Qigong, by the way, that are created post-cultural revolution or standardized post-cultural revolution. White Tiger only teaches pre-cultural revolution Qigong that was not standardized during the Cultural Revolution. For those who are not aware of the Cultural Revolution, back in the 1940s and 50s, you had Mao Zedong. He came into power into China and he wanted to eliminate any connection to the ancient culture. So at Qigong masters, Chinese medicine, they stripped the spirit out. And was their intention good? Maybe. His goal was to make Qigong for the masses as a cheap form of healthcare. But in that, so they standardized Qigong and they stripped out any references or Taoist connotations, Buddhist connotations, and just kind of made an amalgamation of different styles of Qigong and synthesized it into four standardized forms. So for me, I was really interested in the true essence of Qigong. So I studied Taoist Qigong, which appeals to me the most because it's connected with nature. So these three systems of Qigong are Taoist Qigong styles. And my mission for the past over decade has been to work with neuroscientists and sports science experts to fuse it with cutting edge science. And that has been so much fun and so illuminating. And also I work with Chinese medicine practitioners to teach the Chinese medicine aspect of it. And so White Tiger is characterized by deep dynamic Qigong. Mm-hmm. And that wrings out the organs like a sponge, taking out all the toxins and the emotions. And also then we have meditation, Qigong meditation and breathing. So it can be done together and then it can be done separately. So they fit together seamlessly. So we have both moving practices, we have standing practices, and we have sitting practices.
Yes. Yep. Wonderful, wonderful. And again, people can find that. So it's whitetigerqigong.com, and we're going to link that so people can find that in the show notes. Hey, everybody. I hope you're enjoying the podcast so far. I just wanted to ask if you could leave me a quick review. If you're on iTunes or Spotify, a couple of taps of the thumb, leave us a review. It helps other people find the podcast. If you're on YouTube, if you could like, subscribe, and share, that would be freaking fantastic. Okay, back on with the podcast. Cheers. I want to ask you something. I was at the first retreat with James Nestor in Costa Rica in May this year, and he did a bit about Qigong, and he presented some of the history and bits and bobs. I think some of his research from his book Breath. People don't know the book Breath by James Nestor, and he showed us a clip of a documentary from the 1970s called Ring of Fire. Have you come across this?
So I know Lawrence Blair, who was the Blair brothers, made that movie.
Right? Are they British?
Yeah. They were really funded by the Beatles, by Ringo Starr.
Whoa. Okay.
Yeah. What? Yeah. So we talked to Lawrence about that. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. Oh, okay. Right. That's very interesting. So, okay. So when I saw that, and for people that haven't seen it, I can put a link in because it's on YouTube. There's two things that stood out for me. Number one was the chap, the doctor was given like electrical shocks. He said, yeah, and I think it's almost like an eel, and he's giving people these kind of shocks, and even the sound lady doesn't quite believe it. So I think she lifts up her shirt a little bit and he gets her on the belly. And then the second bit, which just blew my mind, was he crumples up some paper and then he puts his hand over it and the paper catches fire. Is that possible? Is that real? Have you seen that? I just please share with me, because I've been dying to speak to somebody about this documentary for like 6 months. It's just, I can't.
You're talking to the right man. Because I know people in that sect.
Okay.
Yeah, I know some of John Chang's students. That's John Chang you're talking about. So that's the Lei Shun Dao. That's the original sect that John Chang came from. Lei Shun Dao is the lightning spirit school, Taoist school. And so, so from what Lawrence told me it's absolutely 100% real. He saw it with his own eyes. He was there. He made the video himself. John Chang, and I also know another Qigong master in Indonesia who was friends with John Chang. And, you know, there's a lot of controversy in that. You know, is John Chang still alive? Some people say he's still alive. Some people say he's dead. Well, the people who I actually know who knew him, you know, confirmed that he has since passed away. And I've learned those techniques, some of those techniques. There's many levels. And from some of the people in the Lei Shun Dao sect. Now, that, why would you want to do that first off? You have to understand your purpose. So do I practice that? I teach a very basic form of it, but not to do what he did, not to light fire, not to make electricity. Why? So John Chang became sick. And what the Qigong master who knew him and also Lawrence told me is that because he did really intense Qigong, he was making fire, right? And that takes up, what element do you need to feed fire? Wood. And what is related with wood is the liver. And he had died of a liver condition. It was liver failure, from what I understand. Okay. And what I was told. Wow. And by people who actually knew him. And so that type of Qigong, so he grew up in the Suharto era, where the Chinese were being slaughtered. You know, they had 2 million Chinese were slaughtered in Indonesia during that time. So as I understand, as the story is told, he was using that as like self-defense, but eventually that era ended and he was using it to heal people. But he was also starting to use it for show. And that was where it got sticky and dicey. And he even said himself that his master came to him and basically shredded him for doing that. So that was his downfall. But was it real? Yes, I believe it was absolutely 100% real. How do you do it? He even says you have to know how to create the right proportions of yin and yang qi. Okay. And then you can use that for things such as pulling or pushing. So creating different magnetic polarities in the body. That's a practice we do, creating different magnetic polarities in the body. So changing the polarity in the hands. And then also he created electricity, as you saw, and fire. I don't teach that per se, creating fire, but I teach you how to do it on yourself for healing. A couple of his Australian students, he had stopped teaching also because a couple of his Australian students were lighting people on fire. That's what I heard.
Whoa.
Yeah. Pretty intense stuff.
Yeah, but, Jesus.
But there are some, you know, some hardcore people there. So I'm not a person who actually was there, you know, studying with him. But I do, like I said, I do know people in that sect, and I do know his students, and I do know Lawrence.
Yeah.
And another master knew him. Yeah. So I'm not the greatest expert in that area, but that's what I do understand.
No, I've been dying since I saw that 6 months ago. I need to talk to somebody about that, that understands what's going on. Because again, like maybe I just watched that and I intuitively thought, I believe that's real. When I saw that, it's like a 1970s documentary or 80s. I don't know. The video quality is not great. It's not now where there's special effects and all that sort of jazz where you could easily do that. And just the way it all happened, their reactions was like, something just feels like that's real. And I just wanted to know more. But it's interesting what you said then. So you're using maybe energies that you shouldn't be using on a regular basis. And that may have impacted him. Are you familiar with Dr. Barry Morguelan? Have you ever come across him in your time? Okay, so I'm going to get this wrong. I interviewed him and I haven't released it yet. He's one of the, I don't know what kind of grandmaster, but it's not to do with Qigong, but he spent years in China learning things. And he consulted on like the Doctor Strange movie for Marvel and stuff like that. And he was, you know, he's up in the mountains doing one-fingered press-ups and all this sort of jazz. He is all about energy as well. So I guess it does relate back to kind of what we're talking about here. I didn't get to talk to him about that, but he was saying that some people can, I don't know if you use the word levitate, but they can kind of stand on paper that's like floating. Have you ever come across anything? I know we're getting a bit of a weird territory now. We'll come out of it again in a second. But have you come across any of this site kind of stuff as well, where people can kind of...
Well, there was a Ripley's Believe It or Not TV show years ago. And they had a Qigong master that they put on there. He could walk on cardboard. He was like a 90-year-old master.
Right.
And it's called Qigong, light Qigong. Uh-huh. So I studied with a master in China who was a master of light Qigong, and he could like run up trees and run up walls. He could like run up a 30-foot wall and kick a bottle off of it. Yeah. I said, how did you do it? He said, there's no magic to it. He said, I just practice it so much and believe it to become so real, it becomes real. That's it.
Yeah.
It's like, that's why I keep telling people you're inducing a physiological effect. That's why I talk about this is exploring your peak potential. What are you capable of that they didn't teach you in school?
Yeah.
We can be so, I think if we were so much more powerful, we really tapped into our true power, they'd be scared. They'd be damn scared. And maybe that's a good incentive to keep us disempowered and not connected to our true power, right?
Yeah, for sure. It brings me back to the whole, why is the fluoride in the water and all that sort of jazz? You know, you can get down a bit of a rabbit hole there. But yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? We've got all this in us. And so, you know, same with the conscious breathing stuff that I've been coming across last sort of 4 or 5 years. Like, why didn't they teach us this in school? Because, you know, you can regulate how you think and feel. And, you know, if you're a bit down, you can get some energy. And if you're a bit anxious, you can kind of, you know, all the stuff, obviously, you know, in much more detail. But it's like this stuff would have been really powerful for me as I was growing up. And I know it's getting out there now, and conversations like this are super important because, you know, these are going out to people all over the world and can inspire people to do things. I want to be respectful of your time, so I've just got a couple of other questions I want to ask you. Number one, I've got a baby due in a couple of months' time, my first child. Is there anything is there anything me and the mother should be doing in terms of Qigong? But also what I'm more interested in is, while I've got this baby and it's in that young baby state, is there any practices that you can recommend that I could be doing while I'm holding that baby or with that baby in terms of qi?
Yeah. So first off, with your first question, yes, you should do my Qigong for Pregnancy course.
Okay.
We have a Qigong for Pregnancy course on our website. It took us a long time. It took us 2 years to develop it. Mm-hmm. It's made by a senior White Tiger Qigong student who's pregnant in the video doing it live as she's pregnant. And we also have water exercises and different techniques. We have some stretching and Qigong, but it's the bulk of it is Qigong. And it's really helpful for the baby's health. And the baby came out so healthy and strong. And the baby, so we have this exercise called dragon back in our Qigong. And the baby started mimicking the mother in the belly. Whoa. So she was starting to mimicking that undulation. And she could feel the baby copying that movement in her belly. Just amazing, amazing stuff. And it's going to keep you super healthy, the woman super healthy through pregnancy, which is so vital to the baby's health. Now, to get to your second question, like how can you do Qigong with your baby is, well, number one, tune into your baby, really become sensitive. One of the things we do in Qigong is the opposite of what we're being, you know, taught now is to become desensitized. We're actually trying to become more sensitive. So really feeling your baby, looking into its eyes, feeling, smelling, engage all your senses with your baby.
Yeah.
Feel the skin against your skin, smell the smell coming in through your nose, look into its eyes, and you can just start to absorb that energy, but give then the baby your energy too. So you're reciprocating that, you know, so it's like a cycle, it's a flow. So you breathe that energy back into the baby. You can feel this, your love, just feel that love coming from your heart, going into the baby, feel the energy coming from your skin into the baby. And you can like, so we have a third eye practice where we can send a visualization out from the third eye into the third eye of another person. And so you like send like a bubble and send that image like a bubble from your third eye into your baby's third eye. And so of love, and just give it that good energy, and your baby's going to feel that. Your baby's going to connect with you and feel that. And so it's your first baby, right? And he or she is not born yet, right?
Correct. Yeah.
Okay. So when my baby was born, they say doctors say, you know, the babies can't see, but my baby looked right into my eyes.
Yeah.
And so the first moment that I met my baby, she looked right into my eyes. It was the most powerful feeling in my life. Gosh, I was taken into a whole nother universe. I felt like I was being shot through a portal into the, you know, primordial state, deep into the universe by looking into her eyes. It was the most powerful moment of my entire life.
Yeah.
It was that moment that I touched my baby and looked into her eyes. There's no greater feeling that I've ever had in my life.
I never thought it was going to happen, to be honest with you, because I'm 40 now, and it was a real gift. We found out earlier this year, so thank you for that. That in itself was a gift, actually. So I'm looking forward to the skin on skin contact. And so I recently, just very quickly, I went through a rebirthing practice about 2 months ago, and I'll be honest, I thought it was all BS. I was like, nothing's going to happen here. And we went into a hot tub of water, which is the same temperature as your body. And they're playing the womb noise in the background, and you're doing a conscious connected breath. And I wore a snorkel and a nose clip, and I went face down in the water. I'm doing this and again, I'm going, nothing's going to happen here. This is, you know, I'll do it because I've been invited. You know, why not have the experience? And then I could hear a girl screaming, and I was like, that's weird. Why is she screaming while I'm doing the practice? And it was only after the second or third one, I was like, oh, that's me. And I was so removed from it. I was like screaming through the snorkel. Anyway, short story, I went through like a complete rebirthing process. My hands became little baby hands. And there's a whole story here. But what was interesting was when they got me out of the water, and the lady that was doing the rebirthing put me into her neck, a bit like, you know, you've been given to your mum sort of thing. She said the words, oh, welcome, Michael. You're so wanted. I'm so glad you're here. And I just burst into tears, and I was crying for about half an hour after that. And it just, the thing that I took away from all of it, because it was so much, but the thing that really got me was those first words that you say to your child are so important. Because I've thought before, you don't remember your birth, and I'm not even sure you do now, but it felt like I did. And so there's just this power of those first few minutes in the hospital or the home birth. Critical. I had no idea. So yeah, interesting thing. I would recommend it. It's
well, now you got me interested. Yeah, yeah, now I'm
yeah
keen.
Yeah, yeah, it was yeah, it, I'm going back to do it again in a couple of weeks, because it felt like I wasn't done, and I had an audience, which was a bit weird. So I'm just crying on the grass, and there's five people about to go and do it after me, and that's a part of me is a bit like, oh, I'm a bit self-conscious that, but I still was going. But anyway, it's a very interesting thing. Last question for me. Thank you, by the way, for entertaining that. But yeah, I thought it felt like it was the right thing to share that story, because you mentioned the rebirth. And yeah. What book would you recommend for people that want to get more into Qigong?
Well, first off, I've got a million free YouTube videos. We put out a new YouTube video every week.
Awesome.
With our senior instructors and other instructors on White Tiger Qigong. So that's free. Yeah. And they can see that anytime. We've got free eBooks. We've got on our website, you can sign up for a free 5-day challenge, and you'll get a series of 5 Qigong videos that can give you a good introduction. And for those who want to go deeper, we have online courses for emotional balance. So for anxiety, for worry, we also have Qigong for back pain, stuff like that. Then if you want to go really deep, you have a whole Qigong system you can learn. You can purchase like the 8 trigram, the 5 animal, the 5 element. And for those who want to go even deeper, we got the master courses. And those who really want to share this knowledge and help pass it down, we have the teacher trainings.
Yeah. Yeah. Fantastic. So we're going to link that for people. So if you're listening or watching, that'll all be down below. So it's just one click away. I highly encourage you to check out the website and the YouTube channel. So please do that. Any final words before we draw it to a close?
I'll give all of your listeners an ebook as my gift. And yeah, great. Yeah. So final words. Well, we're living in a day and age where we're at a critical crossing roads. So the crossroads really are this, is we are facing war on a level we haven't seen in our lifetime. We're facing environmental catastrophe that we have not seen in our lifetime. And we need to make a conscious choice now. What are we going to do to contribute to healing this world or be part of its downfall? And I am committed to being part of bringing healing to this earth in any way I know how. This is how I know how. And by healing yourself, by connecting with the earth, connecting with nature, connecting with the elements that Qigong teaches you to do, This is how we can start to then love ourselves, love nature, and this is how we can then begin to spread that love through our community, through our families, and this is how we can create that ripple effect to heal each other, ourselves, our earth, and our communities, and finally our world. And so this is not some corny, like, you know, line. This is real life, because we are at a crossroads. We got to make that decision. Are you going to be part of the problem, or are you going to be part of the solution? So I propose that this is a positive solution, and we need this light in these dark times.
Yeah, for sure. What a beautiful way to end the podcast. Thank you so much. I'm so glad we did this. I'm so glad that we had this conversation. Make sure you click on all those links down below. Check out White Tiger. Maybe we can do a part two at some point in the future, because I've got 1,000 other questions that I'd love to pick your brains on. But until next time, thank you so much. And thank you, everybody, for watching listening. Thank you so much for sticking to the end of the podcast. I hope you enjoyed that. I told you it was going to be a good podcast. I need to learn Qigong, because I was the person that was just lying down still all the time doing breath work. The minute you add movement to it, it becomes alive, and you think, this is the missing part of breathing. It's so, so important. Maybe I will see you in the Vietnamese mountains at some point in the future, or somewhere else, but I will absolutely be going deep into this modality, because it just feels so right. Feel free to download my 7 Essentials Breathing Exercise PDF cheat sheet, whatever you want to call it. Thousands of people have so far. The link is down below. It gives you access to 7 exercises. You can listen to them, watch them, and it'll tell you the what, the why, and the how for each one. Gets you on the newsletter, and then I can share with you discounts, upcoming events. We've got loads of stuff going on this year. I just want to kind of sneak in. I am working on a membership program. You're at the end of this podcast. Not many people listening to this, so you are something that may be really interested in this. I'm just building all at the moment. I want to make it the best membership program. You pay a small fee each month, and you get access to live sessions with me and a load of other cool stuff, guests maybe. I'm just figuring all that. Very, very exciting. And it's a way that I can help loads of people. I work one-on-one with people, but I take on probably 4 clients a month. So I can help 4 people, but then it's hard to help a lot more. So I'm thinking something group. Maybe there's a few of us in that group. Meet a couple of times a month. Be really cool. Get to know each other. Form some community. Anyway, I just thought I'd drop that in. It's just something that's in my head. When I talk about it, it helps me, and maybe it'll inspire you to think about joining us once it kicks off. A big thank you for being with me. I really appreciate you sticking all the way through to the end. There's so many other things you could do with your time. So the fact that you're dedicated to be with us and learn about breathing, I'm very, very grateful for. If you're on iTunes, you can give us a review. Yes, please. If you're on Spotify, same thing. If you're on YouTube, you could leave us a little comment, a little thumbs up, a little cheeky smile, a thumbs up. Maybe you share it with somebody. Yes, please. And until next time, my friends, maybe you want to check out this breathing exercise right here. Or you want to look at this podcast right here. So whichever those you are interested in, you should click one of those now for sure. I've never drawn the boxes before. I think that's really cool, but maybe I'm just tired. Anyway, thank you so much. See you soon. Cheers.